Welcome back. You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. In spring 2014, Flint's water source was switched to the Flint River. The world now knows what happened when that untreated water leached lead from the aging pipes. But in his story today for MLive, Flint journalist Ron Fonger reveals the state tested the Flint River and discovered rising levels of PFAS contamination before the water switch happened. A division director for the Department of Health and Human Services, now retired, released her report about this in May 2015. But the testing, MLive reports, took place between 2011 and 2013. As we've talked about here on Stateside, PFAS, per- and polyfluoral alkyl substances, are a family of chemicals used in a wide range of products since the 1940s to make those products resistant to water, heat, and grease. Those chemicals can build up over time in the environment and in our bodies. Exposure to PFAS has been tied to health problems, including cancers and damage to the thyroid and liver. Earlier today, I spoke with State Senate Minority Leader Jim Ananick of Flint about all of this, and I asked the senator if he had any inkling this report about elevated PFAS levels in the Flint River was out there prior to Ron Fonger's story today.
No, not at all. I don't think any of us did, and I think it's one of the troubling things is they've had so many hearings and discussions about the Flint water crisis, and for them to still hold back this information. And basically, if you saw, I mean, if you read Ron Fonger's story, which he's done tremendous work on this and other issues, is she was compelled to testify in court. And one of the things she said was, you know, we were concerned this would make the governor look bad. That's the reason why a lot of this information didn't come out or wasn't addressed in the way that it should have been. I can tell you, for the most part, across state government, I think probably across the country, most bureaucrats, most folks that get up and go to work every day, they studied in college for something they're passionate about. That's not their first thought, right? That's a culture that was created from above. And I think we're looking back now with the Flint water crisis and the PFAS and my community and all across the state. And there was a report in 2012 that said there was problems with this issue, and they ignored it then and didn't tell the public about it, which is becoming a pattern that public relations is way more important to them than the public health. And I think that's a big problem.
And Ron's story in MLive indicates that this report from the Department of Health and Human Services was shared with the DNR, shared with the Department of Environmental Quality, the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, and with the EPA. But you're saying not with you, not with Flint City officials and other locally elected leaders.
No, and like I said, I was on a bicameral bipartisan committee that held hearings on the Flint water crisis. And no point in time did anyone from the administration even suggest this was an issue that we had to think about or even had to worry about. And now, obviously, we're seeing the PFAS contamination all across the state in other communities. And now we're looking back saying it might have been what was potentially an issue during the water switch. And this happened before they switched the water, before the emergency manager made the decision to switch. So, why didn't somebody raise that issue with the folks at the city, with the emergency manager's office, or the governor who appointed them? Why was this never raised? I think it's very troubling that the concern for the citizens of Flint just seemed to at no point ever cross anyone's mind. It's really, it's hard for me to understand how people could be that callous and unconcerned about, 100,000 people.
MLive's story says this report, which was issued in 2015, was based on samples taken downstream from Flint between 2011 and 2013. Would that make a difference in your view, since perhaps contamination levels upstream where they would have made their way into the drinking water could have been lower?
I can't speak to why they, I'm not a scientist. I've learned more about water than I ever thought I would, but to me, at the very least, when you find information that you know is troubling, right, and many would argue that the EPA standard of 70 parts, parts per billion is way too high for PFAS for our drinking standard, the drinking standard, it's much like the governor's referred to the federal lead and copper rule as dumb and dangerous. I think you can make the same case for the federal rules around PFAS, right? So I think we should always err on the side of on caution, err on the side of let's protect the public, let's get more information out there. Let's make sure that we err on the side of if it's not a good idea. There was so many signs that suggest that they never should have switched to the Flint water source in the first place, that they weren't ready, they didn't have the capacity to treat the water in the way they should, they weren't using the proper chemicals, and that the source of water was a lesser source than the current source they were using. So I think this should have been another data point at the very least whether it's a determinant to say that it shouldn't have been done, maybe not or maybe so, but when you look at all the other factors, it should have been added on to the very troubling long list of reasons why they shouldn't have done it in the first place. And, you know, looking back now, we can't fix the past and the mistakes the governor and emergency manager and those made, but we can use this as information to make sure we never make these mistakes again. And it seems as if we're not actually learning from the mistakes that have been made.
A DHHS spokesperson said this report fulfilled a requirement for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, and it was about updating the Eat Safe Fish guidelines. Could it be just a failure to connect the dots?
Well, you know, I would normally say that's the case, but, you know, or at least that's a possible conclusion. But when you look back at the Flint water crisis or the Grand Rapids Veteran Home or the, you know, the PFAS issue or the, you know, the unemployment where they accused all those folks of being committing fraud. You know, after a while, it's like fool me once, you know, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. They just keep fooling us, right? They keep acting like, oh, we didn't know. This is a one-off example. Well, it can't always be a one-off example, right? There's a point in time where they've created a system and a culture that says, if you find things out that can be damaging to the governor's reputation, don't tell people. That's a problem, and that's a serious issue that has to be addressed. I think we should, you know, I think oversight hearings are long overdue. I think we should, at the very least, try to get to the bottom of this PFAS crisis in general, but also specifically as it relates to Flint, and also to that 2012 report that came out about PFAS that said there was a serious issue with this chemical, and we should do something about it. And they ignored that one as well. I mean, if it wasn't so many examples, I would say, yeah, possibly. But I think it speaks to a larger culture and climate problem where they just don't believe the public has a right to know when there's a problem.
I do have to just kind of ask you this, that scientists are still kind of up in the air over just how harmful PFAS is and its effects. And certainly today we are hearing an awful lot. We're hearing plenty about PFAS and water contamination. That wasn't so much the case in 2015. Was there enough understanding in 2015, do you think, to warrant notifying officials on local levels?
Well, I think when the DEQ individual who wrote, the two individuals who wrote that very informative report in 2012 and suggested this is a bigger issue than that is not being treated to the level of that the issue should, that could have been a warning signal. Very similar to what happened in Flint where there was warning sign after warning sign after warning sign after warning sign. They were all ignored and in many cases were lying to individuals in the public and within state government. And, you know, it's individuals within the Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Environmental Quality's job to make sure that you err on the side of protecting people. And, you know, once someone is drinking contaminated water, they can't undrink it. Right. So the primary principle is don't let them get the issue in the first place. And when there was a report in 2012, when there was sampling done prior to the switch from the Flint River, I think there was enough science at least, you know, ask the question of, do we need to raise this to a higher level? Do we need to bring in experts? And they didn't do that. So I think that's, you know, I mean, you know, you can argue maybe we're learning more about PFAS than we did before, but we've known it's a dangerous chemical for a long time. You know, I didn't know what it was, but I mean, I think experts that work in the field did. And there's a lot of folks that would argue that the standard that's in place now is too high. And, you know, I think at the very least we need to learn from it and go forward, but it seems as if at no point in time do we ever learn and make sure that we protect people in the future as well as the current time. And I think that's one of the biggest failings of this government.
State Senate Minority Leader Jim Ananick. Thank you so much, Senator.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We reached out to Governor Snyder's office for comment. Spokesman Ari Adler responded, telling Stateside he checked into the issue and found that the State Department of Environmental Quality told him samples collected upstream of Flint's drinking water intakes in 2016 showed PFAS levels of 14 and 16 parts per trillion, which is well below the EPA's lifetime health advisory and the state's action level of 70 parts per trillion. He then referred follow-up questions to an MDEQ official. This response from the governor's office cites information the DEQ had in 2016. It does not, we must note, address what state officials knew about PFAS levels in the Flint River prior to the switchover, which was in 2014.